Blue Apron Big Back Dinner.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth, one is a lie. We try to figure out people that are playing along live with us, like Jason C. Borland or Kia. We try to figure out which one of these stories are a lie. Would you please introduce our guest, Jessica?
I'd love to. I'm so excited. I haven't seen these guys in forever and totally miss them. They did a podcast together called the International Bad Boys Podcast, so this is fun that they're going to be together again. Also, this gentleman plays a fun motivational speaker, which is hilarious, called Martin Martins. He was a door guy at the Comedy Store. That's how we met. He was actually nice to me. This is Stephen Randolph.
Welcome back to the show, Stephen.
Thank you. I wish Jessica was nice back, but, you know. Jessica's a sweetheart.
And then I'm so excited for our next guest because he's so hard to pin down. He has so much going on. He has a podcast called Bunch Drunk that he does at All Things Comedy. He also has a popular, very popular and controversial podcast called Tinfoil Hat. He likes to make waves. That's what he does. He has a popular live show called Comedy Chaos that hopefully gets off the ground soon. And a new father of baby girl twins. This is Sam Tripp.
Back in the saddle, Ghost and Tripoli, here to rock. This is Ghost Tripoli. Some of the pieces. Thank you guys for having me on. I've enjoyed watching you guys' show grow. It just seems like it's getting bigger and bigger, and I'm super happy for you guys because you're both wonderful people, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, we appreciate you being here. And
I just got to say one thing. I can't thank both of you enough for getting me a second diaper pal. You guys, if you don't have kids, you don't understand that. I mean, I got two babies, and they are like diaper serial killers. So if we have one diaper pal, we have to have two diaper pals. So I'm doing like 20 diapers a day, dude. So I appreciate the gift from the Liars Club. Thank you, ladies, for that.
What's a diaper pal?
It's like that you put the diaper in and it twists so you don't smell it, right?
Oh yeah, dude. And it's like it's a poop garbage can, basically. And it's like because your babies are pooping all like, dude. You know what love is?
Really?
Just sticking your nose in your baby's butt, smelling if they got a dirty diaper. It's just like. That's what you do, Steve, when you have kids, dude. You just have, dirty diaper. You got to clean it, and then you got, you know, at first you start cleaning, and then they start just like, you just don't know if there's going to be some drive-by shootings going on with their butts, right? You just don't know, dude. You just don't know.
Sam, we were international bad boys, and now we're domestic good boys.
Oh my God, anything can happen when you have a baby. When I was married and my husband was laying around in his underwear holding the baby exactly like you are and he lost control of the baby. But you know how like you have the opening in your underwear and his penis was out and the baby kind of fell and the penis went in the baby.
What? Oh no! This got really weird fast.
I didn't expect this from this podcast.
Yeah, who knew? That was very weird. Thank you for sharing.
It almost went slow motion where you're like, no!
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. The drama. The trauma that must have caused your husband. I would be the worst thing ever.
Pretty much. All right, well, let's start the game. I think you guys have both been on before, and so why don't we start with Steven.
Producer Michael Evans.
What's up, guys?
Michael, how are you, buddy?
Good to see y'all. Let's get it going.
Yeah, I love that, Michael. Michael will be taking notes afterwards. He's going to recap the stories before we take a vote, and he's certainly awesome. So, sorry about that. So, Stephen.
And the guy in the recliner is Jason Borland. He is a fan of all of you and us, so he's going to be watching and playing along with you.
So my one fan is here. That's awesome. Thank you.
Sam.
Kia can play with us.
Hey, Jessica, when did you get a boyfriend, by the way?
February 15th?
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations.
He did it smart. He did it smart day after Valentine's Day. He didn't have to buy it again.
Really? He's
he knew on the 12th.
That is hilarious.
That's funny. All right, Steven, start your story.
All right. Let me get my thoughts. Let me gather. Let me go deep here. Okay. I was fishing in Newport Beach with my cousin Ryan. We were night fishing. I'm actually night fishing tonight. I'm sitting in Redondo Beach about to go catch sharks. We were doing the same thing. We would fish on the pier in Balboa, or like where the bay is, where the Newport Bay is, and like the world famous surfing spot, the Wedge. We'd fish off those rocks. Rats would come out as big as cats and try to eat your bait, and you'd have to like whip at them, and they weren't scared. It was pretty crazy. We'd smoke weed, listen to AM radio, have a good time. Oh, we did it for years. This one time, we were fishing, so we would work at Trader Joe's in Pasadena, get on the 110 and come down. We would get off work at 10 p.m., and then we'd fish all night until like 6 in the morning. It was like 3, 4 in the morning, we decided to quit and go to Taco Bell on PCH right by a Ferrari.
Were you drinking as well?
Not a lot. We weren't, you know, when we were fishing, believe it or not, we would keep it relatively sober because we liked fishing. But yeah, we were probably doing something a little bit, but we weren't intoxicated.
Who drinks? I mean, who fishes all night without a beer and then decides to go to Taco Bell?
All right. Well, you might have caught me in my first lie, but okay, let's go. Yeah, that's not a lie. No, I don't know. I was fucked up, Jessica, constantly. So to me, like, was I fucked up? Yeah, but I was fucked up for 20 years. So it's like, I wasn't fucked up, you know? Yeah. I was just like, it wasn't worth noting. Yeah, I was maintaining. I was like, you know, probably had like 5 beers and a joint, you know, normal shit. So we were on our way home. We decided to stop at Taco Bell, which I believe is still there. I think about it every time I pass. We ordered our Taco Bell, went through the drive-thru, pulled over to the side of the road to eat it. We were sitting there talking, and all of a sudden we wake up an hour later. Don't know what hit us. It literally, we both described it as the same sensation. It felt like someone went and turned a light switch off on my head. And I just had this bad feeling that we got abducted. And I looked over at my cousin and I go, what just happened? Our food was cold. It was all over our lap. Jessica, I see you laughing. I gotta block your face. I go, oh my God. And I look at my cousin, I go, what time is it? It was an hour past on his old digital, like some old shitty card digital time. And I go, wait, we were just here an hour before ordering our food. Our food was cold. Our brains got turned off. It's like someone just pulled the light switch off. He goes, yeah, I felt like I got knocked on the head. We wake up and I'm like, dude, something bad happened. We both had like this feeling that our soul got taken. I come home. We didn't talk the whole way home. I'm like, we got abducted. I know we got abducted. We're freaking the fuck out. And weeks go by. I'm having a clean UFO dreams that I'm being raped from the bed. So that is my first story. I've had dreams ever since that. That was in 1997, 98, 99-ish. And I think I was visited, and I think I get repeatedly visited. I've been on a good path. I've been really spiritual. I have crystals by my bed. I think at one time I welcomed that. I no longer welcome that into my life. But I really, truly believe my cousin and I were abducted on the PCH after fishing in 1999.
And that's your story.
Yo, I think all the feelings you were describing, kind of that like postpartum and that something bad happened, and maybe you guys just snoozed out for a second because you were tired. It was daylight savings. You lost an hour and you were confused for the next couple weeks about it.
You know what? There's a little boy in me that like to believe that that's true. But I don't, I think I was abducted. I truly, with all my heart, feel like I was abducted. And so was my cousin.
Did you wake up and was your butt sore?
He's talking about this morning. You know, I I grew up in Colorado, and they had supposedly, like, a lot of things happen in Colorado when I was growing up back in the day, and they had, like, cattle mutilations. And
as a kid,
I saw some of the, in a school bus trip in the middle of nowhere, the bodies of cattle that had been mutilated.
You saw it?
I, as a kid, I didn't see it actually happen, but I saw the carcasses.
Wow. Oh, here we go. Sam's going to really feed in on
this. Yeah, dude. Nobody's talking about, you know, why everyone's fighting about trans in the military. We have had like a historic clip of people being abducted in the Midwest. So nobody cares. Everybody wants like trans in high heels going to fight wars while we have rednecks in the Midwest and the South being abducted and being fisted by aliens. And because they're tiny Japanese people, nobody cares because their fists are so tiny. It takes many of them to really make a kind of impact, and nobody talks about it.
I'm not a part of this podcast. I want to be on television movies. I don't, like, Asians are great with me. Thank you, Sam. Thank you for believing me. It's true. I've also seen, I saw another UFO off Melrose before, so I think that there's, I think once you're visited, it's like a cat peeing somewhere, it'll come back and pee in the same place. I keep getting visited.
Steven, the reason I believe you is because you look like a Nazi scientist right now, and they used to work with UFOs. So I believe that you look like a little bit of Jack Parsons and a Nazi scientist. So I
and
think part, being,
and the Parsons building, Pasadena, California. And where
there we go.
California.
So it's like believing ghosts and UFOs.
My question to you is, you don't believe in ghosts and UFOs. You work at the car. Jessica, I had a fucking ghost experience with you at the top of the belly room.
Me too.
And Sam, and Jessica, of all people, Jessica and I experienced something going up and through us. She goes, oh my God. She runs away freaking out. She denies it now. She goes, well, I don't remember it really happening. I don't know. Interesting.
Listen, the reason Jessica does that is because black people don't believe in ghosts and she doesn't want to piss off her boyfriend.
She could have something there. She could have.
Dude,
don't
I've
that.
Seen multiple ghosts at the Comedy Store.
In the back hallway?
I have too.
Behind the main room?
I saw it in the green room one time. This was back when the Comedy Store was dead. I was getting ready to go in. I was in the area where, like, the dancers back in Syros used to get ready. And I was writing down my jokes. I was just kind of writing down the order of my jokes. And all of a sudden, the shower faucet turns, and the water starts running. And that was one time. Yeah. The second time, and this is the craziest one, is that this, again, back when this was dead, like, the roasts were kind of just starting at the Comedy Store. And Jeffrey Ross was with all of his writers, like Sarah Tiana, Tony Hinchcliffe, and all them. And the room, and I was doing naughty shows back there. And this is back when you couldn't get anybody at the Comedy Store. So we'd put like 150 in the main room. They'd be like, dude, there's nobody here. I'm like, dude, nobody comes here. Leave me alone. But I would be, young comics don't realize the Comedy Store used to be dead. So we would go put flyers up. I would put flyers all over the Comedy Store, and one day I go to put a poster up in the main room, and so I walk through, and I see Jeffrey Ross and everybody, and I say hi, and I walk through the main room to the lobby, and the lobby's bright white, bright lights, and I realize I can't tape, I have to tape the poster up. I can't do thumbtacks. So I had to get some tape. They didn't have any tape. So I ran down to the Pink Dot to get tape from there. I go down. I come back in about 5 to 10 minutes at the most. Get there, come back. I go through the main room. And now the lobby is pitch black. And I go out. I go, hey, did you guys see anybody come through here and turn off the lobby lights? And they're like, no, we didn't see anybody. So I go back in, and the room is pitch black, except for this one strip of white light. And it's the brightest white light I've ever seen, and I'm trying to figure out where this white light is coming from. Because the only source of light at the time, if you know the main room lobby, is that those glass doors. And wow. There's no way for that light to have basing up, bing, 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 bing off the picture glasses to get there that white. So it's just straight light, and I'm staring at the white light, and hand to God, dude, this dark figure just passes right in front of the white light. I just see a figure right in front of it, and I fucking bolt, dude.
Yes, oh my God. I believe it 100%. Jessica's going to be mad, but I'm going to tell my story. Stephen, I think, has heard this story before. Look at her. She's already rolling her eyes.
Here we go.
Fuck you, Jessica.
Fuck you, Jessica.
Not for me, and I want to share. I was in the back hallway of the main room, and you know the pink dressing rooms, right, with the sliding pocket doors? Right, so in the and where they put the people's names that are on the lineup, so it was real dead back there. The baby believes me. The show going on, and so I go to see who's on stage through the curtain. I come back, and one of the pocket doors was open this much, and I go to like push it in a little bit, but it wasn't moving. So I was like, fuck it, and I go to take my camera out because I was on the lineup to take a picture because narcissist. And as I'm doing that, the sliding, the pocket door goes boom, 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 up and down, up and down, up and down. I fucking ran out of there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like I have pocket doors in my house. I had them in my old house. No pocket doors do that. They might fall off the railing once, but they don't go up and down, up and down, up and down.
That's crazy.
One time I did a podcast in this podcast studio with this very famous reporter. And then everyone was like, dude, there was floating orbs behind you.
I've seen orbs in the podcast room.
And upstairs one time, Jeff, who plays piano at the Comedy Store, some ghost hunter had come to the Comedy Store, and they went up to the belly room, and they started filming, and they came down. They're like, look at this, dude. And they had a video, and you could see floating orbs in the video.
That's called dust. It's an old place.
it's not dust, man. It's not dust.
Austin, he used to be on the podcast. He used to say all the time, there's orbs, it's orbs. And I do a lot of photography. And to me, it's like, that's dust. But I have seen stuff at the Comedy Store where I'm like, that's fucking banana.
I think I told my story last time on this that a ball hovered over Jesus Trejo's head, and then he ran off stage and because something was screaming at him. That's a whole other long story, but yeah, that was crazy.
All right, so okay. We were abducted, we think, by aliens, and if Sam, you want to do your story?
Yeah, okay. So basically what happened was, like, I had just moved to Los Angeles, and I got picked up at the Comedy Store. And, you know, my career had kind of gone really weird at that point. I'd gone to Montreal. I'd bombed because I had to follow Corey Holcomb, who...
Wait a minute, and your career's not weird now?
Well, I mean, like, well, it was a different time. Like, if the industry didn't like you back then, you were done. Now, I don't care because I make my money. I eat what I kill. So anything I make, I'm like Harriet Tubman, dude. I'm just showing, like, all the content slaves how to escape the plantation. So I make my money. I do very well through my, like, Patreon, my YouTube, and all that stuff. But back then, you didn't have any of that. And if the industry didn't like you, you were done. So, Mitzi loved me, so I was still getting spots there all the time. And I get a call from Jason Galler, and he's like, brother, my friend is looking for a comic for this gig for these accountants. You basically do stand up on the bus for them while they travel, and they just want a comic. And I go, well, it's in Arizona. He goes, what's it pay? He goes, $500. At that time, dude, $500, I would run through a brick wall for people for $500, man. Right? Man, when you're broke, someone says $500, man, you're like, who do I got to kill?
Hell yeah.
I'll stab everybody for $500. So at that time, I called this guy, his friend. He's like, yeah, we just need a comic. Just all you have to do is a little stand-up on the bus, right? So I show up, and it's all comics. Like, hey, what's up, comic guy? And I'm like, hey, what's up? So the bus trip starts after about 10 minutes, and they're going from Phoenix, Arizona to Laughlin, Nevada. Ugh. And they want me to do stand-up. So I jump on the bus, and I'm like, you guys have a microphone? They're like, no, here's the CB radio that the bus driver would use to do stand-up. So I literally have to, like, kind of act like I'm surfing in the middle of it. I start doing my jokes, and, man, within 2 minutes, I'm bombing. I mean, I am bombing. And they're like, you got to work clean. So I go through the 3 minutes of clean material I have. Then I start doing, like, OR late night crowd work, and it's edgy because everybody is like, this is corporate, and I'm calling chicks in the back hookers and shit, and I'm bombing, dude. I am bombing. I start panicking so bad. I started doing, like, all my friends' clean jokes. Like, I'm like, I remember Nick Swartzen's joke. I'm like doing, I'm bombing with these great comics' clean jokes. I'm like bombing, dude. So then they're like, okay, why don't you sit down? And, like, this is the worst, dude. This is the worst. Because, like, I bombed. I still bomb. I'm bombing right now, right? Like, and the whole thing is, like, back in the, you know, I was, like, brand new comic back then. So I would, so, like, if you bomb, you know, walk out to your car, cry yourself, you know, drive home crying, and then go home. I was stuck on the bus with the people I was bombing with, right? So then they go, hey, does anybody here want to try some jokes, right? So somebody and they start doing, like, office jokes, like, hey, dude, anyone been by, like, Bob's cubicle? Could he have more pictures of the kids up there? We get it, Bob. You like the kids. Crushing, dude. Like, fucking hell. Crush fest. And in the back, someone goes, you're funnier than the comic. And I was stuck on the bus. I bombed interstate, right? So then we get to Laughlin, okay? And, dude, I gotta be, like, 26 years old. And, like, but I'm in comic years, so I'm really, like, 19 years old, right? Like, if like, comics are so immature financially and emotionally. We really are children. Like, up until I have my kids right now, I pretty much was living like a college kid from 18 to, like, 47 years old, right? I was pretty much broke until I was 43 years old. So, I mean, I had no money. I mean, I didn't have a debit card. I didn't have a credit card. My credit was shit, man, because I had done a charity event, and this car I just bought had blown up on the engine, blew up, right? So I just left it. I never even got it. So I had that credit card. I had this car on my credit. I think my dad took, because his name's Sam, I think he might have taken my old Social Security number and got a car under his name. So my credit was shit, dude, right?
Yeah.
So I go to get, they're like, okay, and the whole deal was you have to rent a car. And I'd never rented a car, you know, before. So I didn't know you needed a credit card. So I go to rent the car, and they're like, okay, we need a credit card. I'm like, I don't have a credit card. They're like, you need a credit card. So I go back to the people I bombed with, right, and beg one of them to get me a credit, to put the credit card down so I could drive home. And somebody was nice enough. They go, dude, you're just having a bad week, bro. Here's the credit card. Grab a car and drive home. And I still got to keep my $500.
You're lucky it was a bus full of accountants. So, you know, they had credit cards.
Yeah, for sure. It was, like, really, really, like, it was probably the worst gig I've ever done. Outside of this gig I did in Liquid Zoo in Long Beach. You guys ever play that gig?
Yeah.
That was the worst one. I got it so hood. I walked in, fucking hood, dude. Hood. No offense, Jessica. Hood, right? So this is how I'm like. I walk in. I'm like, oh fuck. This is a little. I'm like, where's security? I walk in. Security's in the back, rolling joints. This was like 15 years ago, right?
That's a lie because they do rolling blunts.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm sorry. God, you really got your terminology down, huh? What'd you get, a fucking black belt in Ebonics? That's how you start dating your boyfriend. But here's the thing, dude. This was right around when Michael Jackson had died, because I had somehow luckily gotten a wristband to go to his memorial at the Staples Center. And someone asked me what it was. I go, oh, it's a wristband for Michael Jackson's memorial. He goes, dude, do not tell anybody that's here what that is, because they will fucking kill you for it. And I just did my gig and ran the fuck out. So that's my first story.
People, you know, young comics don't recognize, like, when I first started doing comedy, I think ATM cards hadn't even been out. There were no cell phones. Like, if you were at a gig, you were fucked. You know what I mean? Like, if you bombed at a gig or got fired at a gig or didn't have, you know, enough money to eat at that gig, you were screwed. So I can't even imagine how horrific that must have been for Sam.
The worst.
Yeah,
I think if this is the line, I think that probably all of the beginning part is true, where he bombed and everything, but maybe the rental car part is a lie.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's my
theory. We shall see,
dude. How? Yeah, that could be. I don't know. How brutal would that be to go back to those guys and be like, "Yeah, I need a credit card." How'd you get the credit card back? So how did that all work out?
They did get it back. They just put it down and they hoped I was an honest guy, and I just drove it and then gave them the car. And then, you know, but this is back in the day when you could rent a car and get insurance for a dollar. They used to get car insurance for a dollar. People would get it and just wreck the car. So they had to
stop. Did you ever see Bam Margera's Before Jackass, you know, CKY, their videos? He rented a car, got the insurance for $1, and just exploded it. That was one of his first videos. I was like, whoa. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I think the only part of the story I don't necessarily believe is that they gave you the credit card, because they're accountants and they're always worried about credit rating and all that. So that part seemed a little suspect, is all I'm saying. By the way, thank you for joining us, Mike Vargas. Nice to see you. Jason is here along with Jason Marino. If you guys want to go on camera, just put yourself on camera, and because you guys can be trusted, Kia, I think, is at work. You're welcome to go on camera, too. And all right, so let's move it along, unless someone has specifically any questions. Any questions? No? All right, let's move along to Stephen's second story.
Second story, Steve Randolph here, grateful and happy. I was partying at a bar in Long Beach, California, 2003. I was doing cocaine. I was having a good time. I was beyond drunk. And I was smoking a cigarette outside. This old bum that looked like a prospector came up to me. And he said, hey, what's up? You know, no one's going to believe me. No one's ever believed me. But I've got buried right by the state line in Mexico, right off San Ysidro. And I, you know, I believe in magic, and I believe in synchronicity and stuff like that. So I was like, wait, what? And then a bunch of people came over and started talking to me, and they told me, like, oh, get out of here, crazy man. And I was like, no. And they were like, you know, what's the deal with this guy? And I said, he has gold buried. And they're like, Steven, you are fucking insane. What are you even talking to this guy for? So then the guy kept coming back, and he kept going, you believe me? And I said, yes, I do. And he begged me, and he said, listen, we'll drive down, we'll get on the 5, we'll drive down, we get off at San Ysidro, we'll go to a liquor store, we'll have a soda. He kept stressing that we're going to have a soda. We'll have a soda, and then we'll go right before the border in Mexico, right where the Jack in the Box is. I have it buried. So he got in my car. I drove down to San Ysidro with him. As I pulled off right where the Jack in the Box was, he went out to a field and he dug for like an hour. I'm just sitting there watching him dig. Finally, he pulls up a Folger's can and takes off towards the border. He takes this Folger can and I watched him go through the turnstiles, and he went right into Mexico. You know, I've gotten in trouble down there before. In 2001, I was arrested down there.
and almost shot with my best friend Casey Maloney. We were. That's a whole other.
It's a great story.
You
know, I think you told us that story. It's fantastic.
Kia says he absolutely. This is absolutely true, 100%. But my question is, so who had the shovel? You just had a shovel in your car, or he had a shovel, or
he had a backpack with one of those little mini like fire shovels that the firemen have.
Yeah. Okay. as most homeless people do.
He did say he was like a prospector. He was like he had a cowboy hat that sat sideways. Like he was like kind of like a. Like I wouldn't call him a bum, more of a hobo, kind of the kind of guy that would, like wash your car for a sandwich. He wasn't just a taker. He was like, you know, he'd spit sign your shoes or do something cool. You know,
how long was the drive to where he was gonna go dig?
An hour and a half.
So did you talk to him and find out like why he buried this treasure? What happened?
He said that was his business and my business was to drive. Now he would split the treasure with me or whatever he had buried with me 50-50. He said that was his business. And he was from the old school. I didn't want to mess with that.
So what did you talk about then that whole hour and a half? And did you get the soda?
Yeah, I got a grape soda. It was, we talked about God. I was pretty fucked up. We talked about relationships, him kind of growing up in the slums of Chicago. He was the youngest of a nine kid family. He never felt like he fit in. And he had a great story. And he just said, you know, he got used to burying. His parents were from the World War II generation, so he got used to burying. That's what his family would bury stuff, you know, instead of using banks. And it's just something that he kind of did. And, yeah, that was an interesting detail that I remember.
Well, Jason C. Borland says, my balls just yelled that he's a liar.
Your balls. Wow. Okay, Jason.
Well, I think let's ask any kind of question to Steven, and I bet he could have an answer about anything. Like, what kind of car were you driving?
It was a green truck, 1999 Chevy truck. With a lid, with the flat back on it, with a lid cover.
Ooh, what a detail.
Yeah. And what was he wearing?
He was wearing a cowboy hat, or not like a prospector hat. It looked like a cowboy hat to the side. Uh-huh. He was in like, he kind of looked like the Marlboro man, but way dirtier.
Uh-huh. And when you say he had a sideways cowboy hat, what do you mean by that?
It looked like... I don't know. Have you ever seen Blazing Saddles? Have you ever seen like a prospector, like the kind of guys that dug for gold in pictures from the 1800s? He had like one of those like rootin' tootin' sassafras, like the kind of guys that are always chewing tobacco.
All right. Rootin' tootin'. Jason Borland says that you have a tell. What is his tell?
He did this when he told that last part of that last lie. He went just like this with his finger.
Yeah. All right.
Whew. Watching that boy close, huh, Jason? I mean, I've been drinking. Trying to pay attention.
All right. Any other questions? Anything?
Well, I will say, I know that my grandfather liked to bury shit in the yard all the time in coffee cans. And there probably is something in our back, and then his old backyard that he forgot where he buried it, I'm sure.
Very common. Very common.
Really? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Italians do that. When my grandmother passed away, couple years ago, all the old Italians who were still left was telling my mom, like, hey, pull out the brick. This is a house that my mom grew up in, that I grew up in, my grandma's house. They're like, remove this brick. There are jewels and money. They're finding money and stuff hidden all around. So I think that older, that generation, you know, that older post-World War II generation, you know, did stuff like that.
Being such a big conspiracy theorist, I'm sure that he has money buried somewhere.
Yeah.
Bitcoin. I'm in the Bitcoin, dude.
I said Bitcoin at the same time.
Bitcoin. All right. Well, Jason Marino says that he believes the second story more than the first. I'll vote for the recap, though. Yeah. Wow, I kind of believe that first story a little bit more, though. All right. Do we want to go to Sam's second story, if he's able to?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I'm going to be running gutting with babies right now, but you know what? So basically, I grew up in upstate New York, and I have a very tight-knit family. All my aunts, uncles, cousins all live in the same area. And, you know, I had this aunt and this uncle that they were together for a long time. But, you know, they were there were some signs that they weren't happy. There were rumors that, you know, they would go on family vacations and that my uncle would bring his mistress on vacations with him as side piece when they were on family vacations. We would be driving with them, my aunt would do this thing where she would put her hand in her head so she didn't have to look at my uncle while she drove. She did it forever. Forever. And, you know, rumor is that I have a cousin that nobody's met that lives in Florida. A female cousin that supposedly my uncle fathered, and everybody just found out about this later on. So after my youngest cousin graduates high school, we were told that my aunt, my uncle were getting divorced. They were not going to be together anymore, and they decided to break up with each other, and that they were going to go their separate ways. And I found this out while I was at home from UNLV for college break. It was the summer, so I got called to help my uncle move out.
You went to college?
I did. Shut up. Shut up.
Fired.
Shots fired.
Damn, shots Jessica.
Fired. God damn, Jessica. You know, I'm sorry that you only date guys who went to vocational school, all right? But listen.
Oh.
So anyways, I love that you're an animal print, which is totally a white girl that dates black guy look, by the way. Once you start dating black guys, you start only wearing animal print. I fucking love it. So listen. So
you should see her wall, Sam. It has all of the tennis shoes.
All got this Shaka Zulu shit all over the place. So I get called in to help my uncle out. I have to, like, help clean the house, help my aunt, my uncle, clean out my uncle's stuff because he's going to move out of the house. So I'm cleaning all this stuff. And it's like, this is like back in the early 90s. So there's these VHS tapes, right? And one of them says, you know, private, don't show, right? So I'm like, okay, I got to see what this is. So I put it in the VHS tape, and it is a sex tape of my mom and dad hooking up. Yeah. And I'm watching my parents bone right there on tape.
I
don't know why, how my uncle got it, because he's a creeper, right? So he's a total creeper. I'm watching them. So if you study the Tibetan Book of the Dead, right?
Okay.
They say,
we all do.
They say that we pick our parents, we go into a room, and there's a room full of and there's all these people making love, right? And you basically pick your parents based on their sex technique. And that's how you pick who your parents are. God knows what these two twins were doing when they picked me and their mother. Right? So I'm watching this. This is the early 90s. This wasn't this clean stuff where nobody had bush. Mom is rocking full Armenian bush. My dad's got like a PE teacher's body because he used to teach high school. And I basically discovered my parents' sex tape.
Wow. So what position were they doing?
Well, you know, dude, that was back like when porn was just missionary position. There was
Did
nothing
your mom
weird.
Have a bush?
Yeah, she had a big Armo bush, a big one.
Where was the camera? If they're doing missionary, where was the camera where you could see her bush?
So we had this downstairs, and people used to joke that we had, like, disco porno furniture downstairs that they later turned into a place for the kids to play, but it was downstairs. It was a basement.
It's all paneling, making sense now.
Right? There's paneling. There was some weird painting that we'd never seen before. Like, somebody, the owners before my parents moved in, had painted this weird, like, farm scene, and there was just a couch down there. So it was basically a camera shooting towards a couch. You know, like if you see the couch behind me, it was basically like that. With my dad going to Pound Town.
Pound Town.
Wow. Did you watch the whole video?
I watched enough to be like, what am I doing watching this?
Did you see your dad nut?
No, I didn't get that far, thank God. Because I just feel like we'd have the exact same nut face.
Okay, but what about mom?
What?
But what about mom?
What? Well, what do you mean what I think about my mom? What am I giving her, like, a porn hub of five stars on that? Is that what you want me to give?
Hey, Felicia.
What am I? I'm giving her the first ever Pornhub comment on a porno? What are you talking about? My favorite thing is when you see people fighting in the Pornhub comment section. That's a sign that you've done nothing with your life, when you're arguing on comments on Pornhub.
What does it mean when you're sifting through those comments?
That means I am deep on a coke run and bored out of my mind.
What did you want to
say? I used to do so much coke. I stopped watching. First of all, at one time, I had tapped Pornhub. I had seen every video that had been up to late. And then I stopped watching for porn, for like the sex. And I started trying to collect favorites, directors who understood how to shoot cinematography of pornography.
Oh, no.
Didn't you have a joke or a tweet that was like, no more Zeppelin, dude? About what was your sex tweet or sex joke? I just thought of that and just...
I can't fuck the Fleetwood Mac anymore.
Tweets that?
Did you ever hear the story of Fleetwood Mac?
How the blowing it in her ass? Yeah.
Yeah. I used to have a joke about that, but I know a guy who saw it happen in real life.
What? What?
So Stevie Nicks had did so much coke, she couldn't use her nose. So there was a guy whose job it was to blow cocaine through a straw up her ass as she performed. She would sit down and they would blow coke up her ass.
Yep, I heard that.
I know a guy who walked down and saw it happening in real time, and the guy was like, hey, what are you doing down here?
We have some people that are already voting. Kia says, Tripoli, first is true, second is lie. Randall, first is lie, second is true. Wow, people are already going for it, but unless someone has any questions or want to ask about Sam's dad nutting again, anybody questions? Mike Vargas, you want to ask anything?
Hey, Mike, how are you? Mike's wonderful.
Mike's a great guy.
Mike is a great guy, very supportive, good dude.
Yeah.
Looks like a terrorist, but means well.
Yeah.
I know, Mike's beard looks like my bush.
I'm so happy just my beard has gone gray a little bit. Dude, when my nuts go gray, I'm just like, stick a fork in me, it's over.
My chest is all gray now, dude.
I have some gray chest, but dude, when my nuts go, I'm gonna be like, stick a fork in it, it's over. But you know what, dude? I'm gonna say this before everybody votes. There's something freeing about having kids as a man where you just don't gotta care anymore. Like, you've kind of done your mission and you're like, I don't care if I'm the old guy, the creepy guy, the out of shape dude, the fat dad, whatever.
Your dad. Over. Yeah.
Yeah. I did my job. I produced more of me. I'm good. It's very
true. Yeah, there's true. Yeah. I created something. I left a legacy.
Yeah, I did my job. I have two daughters. They're going to wipe my butt when I'm old. I'm good to go.
Yeah, you are. And you got daughters that are going to love you forever. By the way, Jason Borland says, asks, what did your dad's ass look like?
I come from a bunch of flat ass, high crack motherfuckers. So that's kind of
what. Dude, that's.
When I'm home, I don't want to run errands or have to figure out a meal plan, especially because I have kids. That's That's why Blue Apron is a great solution. Their chef-designed recipes are easy to follow and give you a balanced, delicious meal. Blue Apron is a quick and easy way to make high-quality meals that everyone can enjoy. Use promo code LIARS to get $30 off your first order. Blue Apron, take back dinner.
All right, so let's do the recap quickly, and then we'll take a vote.
All right, so we'll start with Steven in the order we went in. And Steven's first story, he's fishing in Newport Beach with his cousin Ryan. They did that a lot because they worked at Trader Joe's together. And they would go there after work and drink and smoke and listen to AM radio and fish and shit like that. So one time they're leaving at like 4 a.m., they hit the Taco Bell on the way back. They get some Taco Bell, they park to eat it. And then as if a light switch was just turned off, they both wake up about an hour later, cold food on their laps and everything, with this eerie feeling like they'd been abducted or something. Strange and happened to do with aliens, perhaps. That's the first story. And then
I was visited. I was revisited for.
Oh yeah, okay. I
periodically.
That was.
Let me just ask this: how could you tell you were visited? Like what?
In my dreams, I would have like really hardcore alien dreams, but they felt like. I don't know if you've ever had a dream where you dream something and then that person calls or something. It was like. More than a dream, it was like a David Lynch movie. It was like, am I dreaming? Am I awake? I believe that they were coming in through my thoughts in my subconscious at night when I was open. I think alien abduction doesn't just happen physically. I think they found a way because they could travel like through light and through other power sources. I believe that they tap into those who are open, and I was at the time. I think that I was visited. I'm sounding like a crazy person, but
if this is your true story, I totally believe it. I want it to be true so bad.
So what do you think they did to you? What was the purpose of the visit? What physically did they do to you, or emotionally,
What's that?
And why you?
Why the random cow that she saw on that field trip? Why that cow? I'm sure that cow was wondering that as it was getting sawed, but. Why did Brent Biddlecombe win $1 million? Why Brenton? Well, we know why, because he's a good guy. But why they chose me? I think probably I'm interesting. I'm smarter than most, and I think that I'm a good specimen.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I was believing you until that part. I mean...
Wow.
I'm still on board, baby. I'm in.
Okay, all right. All right, story?
Second story, this is 03 in the LBC, and he's doing some blow at the bar. He's beyond drunk. He's smoking a cigarette outside in a prospectory-looking old guy comes up, and he starts, like a homeless guy maybe, right? Like the Marlboro Man, but dirtier. And he starts telling him about how near the Mexican border he's got all this gold buried, and he just needs to help him get there down to San Ysidro, just off the exit by the Jack in the Box. We're going to get a soda. We're going to go dig this shit up. So... long story short, Steven takes him down there. They go down there. They get the soda. He gets a grape soda. He lets him dig for like an hour and a half. And then he digs up a big Folgers can, and he just takes off south across the border. Steven's stuck where the cars are at and shit. He sees him getting through the turnstile with the coffee can. And now that I'm saying the story out loud, did the coffee can go unchecked at the border? What happened with that? He just walked through, right?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever walked into Mexico?
No.
You give Mexico a lot of shit about like, oh, the immigrants are coming over here. Well, we can just walk over there. It's a pain in the ass coming back, but there's just a big turnstile. Like you're like it's a big mechanical metal arm, dude. You're up to whatever when you're over there, but their vetting process, you just walk into their country.
Wow, shit.
Yeah, it's not fair. It's not fair.
Wow.
I think the thing that gets me again is the grape soda reference out of the blue, and then the shovel reference, like the shovel that perplexes me.
Just remember these things when you have. I'm sure you know you have these. I can remember. I got in my first fist fight in 1992, and the guy threw me into a Mickey Thompson's off-road racing game those video games that used to have the driving handles. I remember like the cigarette burn marks on the thing as he was pushing me into the thing, and then I went back and punched. I mean, I think as artists we remember those details.
All right, fair enough. All right, so let's take a vote, Michael. What do you think?
But Man, I like the alien story. I felt like I felt some passion coming through. And also, I think where you're like, what about that shovel and the grape soda? I think those are such obscure, adorable, fun little details. Totally, and he's perfectly aware of that. I think he plugged them in. He did a great job. But once you pointed him out, I'm like, those are so kitschy and fun. He thought of those random details beforehand. So I'm gonna go with the alien story is true.
You know what? I think I'm gonna go with you. Let's see what. Look at her over here in the corner, giving a shit.
Shouting Thomas. Look at her fucking face.
No.
Fucking bullshit, dude. These fucking people. This is out of the fucking world. Like, who has stories like this? Only these motherfuckers. like, I thought I had some crazy stories, but this is ridiculous.
Sam and I would say anybody on the planet, I know we're all comedians for storytellers. I would say Sam and I combined, it's pretty hard to beat the weird shit that we had done on this planet. Right, Sam?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I agree, Steve. You and I are definitely two of the weirdos.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to vote, just because I know last time, and I'm almost positive the last time, his lie was about Mexico. Okay? So that's why this time, I think that the lie is actually the alien thing. Because last time, the true story was Jesus Trejo and the ghost. Right?
Right.
And the Mexican story was the lie. So I think he did opposite this time. The Mexico story is true. And the being beamed up is a lie.
Okay. In his defense, he never said he was beamed up. But Mike Vargas.
Thank you for listening.
Michael and myself. Jason is.
He's all about that car play.
Yeah.
Me?
Jason, you are saying which one is the lie?
So, Sam, I feel like I've heard Sam Tripoli's first story before, but I think that one is the truth.
No, we're doing Steven.
And Steven, I don't know, how are you going to get abducted and meet a prospector? It's all happening in Long Beach, right? Like right on the coast? I don't know. But I really honestly think that this is George Costanza's version, and you believe that you are abducted, so it's not a lie. So I believe the first story is the truth, and the second story is the lie, because maybe you met the guy in the parking lot while you were doing coke, but you damn sure didn't drive for 2 hours to the border with him. So that's where I'm at. First story's true, second story's
lie. Well, I think he got abducted, but it was probably the Pasadena one or whatever. This is a fake one.
So which one is a lie, you say, Jessica?
I think that the aliens are a lie.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, Jason, and also with Michael, but specifically I agree with Jason that I think he thinks that that did happen, even though I do believe in UFOs. When I saw those cows that had been mutilated, and they had been mutilated with surgical precision.
I was going to ask that. It's always surgical precision, like no blood, just like, I can't believe you saw that. Such yeah. a neat thing. I had an experience.
And there were lots of laying all
denies in it to this
field.
Day.
There were lots of them laying all in this field, and it wasn't like a field where they're, that they, you know, next to a slaughterhouse or that they're going to go put them in the, you know, trucks to take to the slot. It wasn't anything like that. It was
terrifying. Absolutely yeah. terrifying.
But after that, I started having a lot of dreams about being abducted. So
are you being serious?
I'm 100% serious, but I was also a very imaginative kid. And I was probably around 14, 13, 14. But
they come to somebody, they want to research people that are imaginative, that are creative. Like, they're a human
now,
specimen.
Now I'm going to vote against you. I know.
It's very interesting that a lot of people on speed tend to talk to aliens. It's almost like this, with the, you know, they call crystal meth the queer juice because it makes you do weird shit sexually. But it should also call it the interdimensional juice because for some reason you talk to time travelers.
Dude, I bet time on cocaine one time, and that's a different story.
Okay.
I looked out of a peephole, and I swear to God, I made a right angle turn. I was so coked out, I was able to see around the corner in a peephole.
So, Sam, which story do you think is the lie?
I think the first story's real. I think the second story's a lie.
Wow.
All against me. All right.
But against Jessica, just like she likes it. Steven, yeah. Which story is the lie?
The lie is the second story. You guys all nailed it. Wow. Nailed it except for Jessica. You all nailed it to a T. The grape, because I was scrambling when I said grape soda and shovel. Those, and then when I touched, and then when the guy said when I touched my mouth, like everybody like clocked me tonight, like pretty well. Jessica's getting fucked so hard these days, she doesn't even know what's right or wrong anymore. Fucking, she's just getting pounded over there, and she doesn't even know what the fuck's what's happening. She used to be real
great
on.
Problem to have.
Yeah. But you guys nailed it completely, even to the point with the prospector story. I forgot someone even called. You guys clocked me to a T tonight where I did meet a guy who was swearing that. The real story is my friends were like, I'm not going to let you go with this hobo. I thought about it.
Hobo.
Since. Wonder if he had treasure. He goes, no one believes me. This all, and then he kept telling me as I was getting pulled away. This is why no. This is why I can't go down there. I thought about if I had my life with you over again, I would have gone down there and dug for treasure with him. It just was out of a movie. But yeah, you guys got me 100% tonight.
Wow! I finally found my player, Jason Bourne. We are as one. Fist bump through Zoom. We are. As
yeah,
one.
You guys nailed me.
All right. So let's do the recap on.
All right, man, and. In Sam's first store, I think this is the first one. He's new to LA. He's at the Comedy Store, and his friend tells him that he needs a comic to go do some comedy for a bus full of accountants in Arizona for $500, which was and still is a life-changing amount of money. So he goes to do the gig. He gets on this bus full of accountants. Like 10 minutes into this Phoenix to Laughlin ride, they're like, you want to do the comedy now? You want to do some jokes? So he gets up. He's using a fucking bus intercom for a mic. He's got to work clean. He's got like 3 minutes of clean material. It all eats shit. So he starts doing like late night crowd work. It all eats shit. He starts doing every clean joke he can think of. It's eating shit. It goes badly. He gets off. He's stuck on the bus after he's bombed there, which is a terrible place to be. And then a guy that works, one of the accountants gets up like, hey, anybody else want to try stand up? He jumps up there and just starts doing some cheese dick office humor. And he's crushing balls. Someone's like, he's better than the comedian, blah, blah, blah. They get to Laughlin. He wants to get the fuck out of there. Sam does, so he goes to rent a car. You need a credit card to put down for the car. He doesn't have a credit card, so he's got to walk his ass back to these guys, ask them if they can put a car down for him. They do, and then he gets out of there. I think that's it. First story.
It's all plausible. Sure, 100%. It's all plausible.
It's
but
all on brand.
Pardon?
It's on brand for Triple F.
Yeah, but it could be someone else's story that he took.
Yeah.
That's what I did last time.
Yeah.
I just don't think that he would have taken the gig, knowing he knows himself. He knows he's fucking crazy.
Not when you're a beginning comic. You don't fucking know. You think, oh,
$500? Right now, I'll do 500. I'll do anywhere for 500.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. All
right. Well, you guys ready for this second story? This is a very different story. Sam's from a tight-knit family in upstate New York. Like, aunts and uncles, cousins all lived in the same area. And this one aunt and uncle were together for a long time, but they weren't very happy. There was some infidelity, some passive aggression in the car. A lot of other dysfunctional shit. Once the youngest cousin had graduated high school, they're going to get a divorce. And Sam has to go help his uncle move out. And he's cleaning shit up. He's helping him move out. He's boxing stuff up. And he finds some VHS tapes. And he finds one that's labeled, like, don't fucking watch this. This is private. And so, of course, he pops in. He's got to see what's going on. And it's Sam's very own parents fucking on the tape. And that's what you saw. You know, your dad's hairy, hairy high ass cracking shit. And I got a question, actually. They meant to make a sex tape and now your uncle had it? Or your uncle had filmed them having sex sleeping?
I think who knows what weird shit. Like, when you're a kid, you think your parents were, like, superheroes, you know? And when you realize they were just drinking to deal with life, that's what you learn about your parents. So I'd be like, We didn't invent kinky shit. Kinky shit's always been around. It's just we never want to believe our mothers were into weird stuff, you know?
Well, I don't think your mother was into weird stuff. I think your fucking uncle's creepy as all get out. But here's the thing about that story. Like, it's such a roundabout way to get to a story as you saw a tape once where your parents were having sex. But it's such an awkward way to get to that story that I almost kind of believe it. You know, did they ever look at camera? You, your mom, and your dad? Did they
camera was there? Were they talking to the camera? No, dude.
No, look at the camera. Were they, like, you know?
I can be honest with you. I don't remember that much detail. It's not like, it's kind of a blur. All you know is like, oh, that's my mom. Oh, that's my dad. And oh, they're doing something I never wanted to know they were doing. You know, it's like I'd only heard my parents have sex one time before that, and it was like just hell. Now, not only am I hearing it, but I'm seeing it, and it's like the technique was just brutal. There's nothing smooth about it. My mother was just, you know, you ladies don't understand how bad the women before you had it. You know, it's just like there's no rhythm, there's no technique. It was just not pretty.
Yo, is this your dad's brother or your mom's brother?
Yes. Oh, this is my mom's sister's husband.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, Nikki, you can't. My buddy Taylor's here. Hold on. I got friends coming over to meet for fishing.
Okay. Here we go. Let me ask real quick.
You can't hear.
Did you ever fess up to your parents that you saw that?
On an internet show.
You said you didn't stay on, watch it long enough to know certain things, but you watched it long enough to know that your mom had no rhythm.
Yeah, no, my dad had no rhythm. 5 minutes. My mom just laid back like most chicks do, like guys do all the fucking work.
Fuck you, Sam!
Right? As you get older, you learn to appreciate your father more. I'm hearing those
babies. I can feel myself ovulating right now, so fuck you.
Whoa, so, Jessica is just fucking on fire today.
Jessica. Jessica wants to have a little Blake Griffin's pretty soon. So, I am.
I just imagine Jessica ovulating with chunks. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
listen.
Oh, my God.
That's the first time I've ever told that story. It was traumatizing. I did break the tape and throw it out so nobody else saw it because I don't know if my mother knows that he had that tape or how he got that tape. But I kind of smashed it so nobody could see it. It's my mom. My mom's on a tape. That's gross. I don't need to know that. Up to that, I thought my mom never even had sex.
Right. All right, let's take a vote. Steven, what's your vote?
I think, okay, I'm like split here because I think the first one might be true and the second one might be a lie. But the only reason I think the second one is a lie, the fact that Sam's play area was an ex-sex dungeon, that made perfect sense to me of how Sam was born. I'm going to say Sam's done a lot of hell gigs and has the worst stories about it ever. I'm going to say the first one true, second one lie.
All right. Jason feels the same way.
I think first one's true, and the second one is he all happened except for on the tape. It was like his uncle and his side piece or something to do with the divorce. Like I think he found a weird tape
that brought up the side piece and how the aunt wouldn't look at the uncle.
Yeah, I think he found a tape, but I don't think it was
his
parents.
Maybe they wouldn't look at each other because they had been doing secret sex tapes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the first story is the lie, that it's someone else's story, although it 100% could fit. But I'm going to say that second one is just too fucked up. All right, the second one is the lie.
I know that I'm off base probably, but I'm going to say the first story is a lie, and that actually happened to Court McCowan, and that's who he stole it from, and that the second one is true.
Why Court McCown?
Because he brought him up.
Why not?
Corey. Because he said that Court got him the gig.
No, Jason Gallern.
Jason Gallern the gig? He probably had kids. Or, no, he didn't have kids back then, did he?
learn?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think he had kids back then.
Yeah, why would Jason give that gig away? $500
Because he's a teacher. He doesn't need it.
Yeah, but isn't he like a substitute teacher?
All right. <easy.
laughs> Don't tell him that.
I think it happened to DeGalern. Because DeGalern, I've never heard him say a clean joke.
Yeah.
I love Galern, dude. He's so funny.
He's so funny. Oh, fuck. What do you say, Mike Vargas?
I say it's the first one is true and the second one is a lie.
Yeah. All right. Has everyone voted?
Yep.
So what's the vote?
I'm going to say the second one is true. Jason Borland, you're saying that the first one is the lie and the second one is true? No, the opposite. That's Jason Marino. Okay. Steven's going to say what again, Steven? What was your vote?
What's that?
What was
my vote is first one true, second lie.
All right.
Same.
All right.
You changed your vote then, Felicia.
Yeah, I have to say the second one is true.
Okay.
All right. Which story is the lie, Sam?
The first one is true, second one is a lie. Now, the story about seeing a tape of your parents having sex, that's an old, that was never a joke, but my friend Nodder told me the story.
I remember Nodder.
A little ways away back in the Comedy Store, back when it was dead and that he was still picking people up, that he had seen a tape of his parents having sex. So But the rest of that was the Laughlin, Nevada story is 100% true and traumatizing as shit. Yeah. It's just everybody always wants to take. They go to a comedy club, they watch comedy in this controlled environment, and then they're like, dude, let's take it from the safe, awesome, controlled environment and let's bring it to Vietnam and let's watch. Why do you mean you can't do stand up at a kid's party where everybody's drunk and beating their kids? What do you mean?
Wow. Well, you guys told such great stories tonight. I'm so sorry I got that. Thank you so much for spending part of your pandemic with us. Do you have anything you want to shout out? Sam, you have your amazing podcast. Steven, anything?
Yeah. Check out my Patreon. It's patreon.com/tinfoilhat. I do daily podcasts on there, 20-minute, 30-minute. I call it Hit and Quit It. It's like, I always say Tinfoil Hat is like Family Guy, where the stories have, it's taken a while for those shows to be put together. But the Patreon is like South Park. It's up to date daily, and it's new. And then just check out my special. You can watch it for free at samtripoli.com. It's live from the Viper Room. Sorry about the crying babies. Daddy's on business. On daddy duty right now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Jamie wants me to tell you to look up on YouTube Dr. Quiet's baby. There's some.
I don't know. I'm afraid to do any of that. I think this is just natural and you just got to go through it.
Yeah. And you know what I was thinking before the podcast started? That even though we're in quarantine, having twins, you're locked down anyway. So, you know. Pretty much.
It is the perfect time for this to happen.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for joining.
Oh, can I give a shout out?
Of course.
Hi, guys. I'm talking to you merchants out there in the high-risk space. If you're selling CBD, Kratom, machine guns, if you're selling whatever you're selling, if it's technically legal, I'm your guy. That's Aqua Payments. Just DM me on Instagram. That's at Stephen Randolph 2, StevenRandolph2. I can get you high-risk merchant accounts. Tell them Steve sent you.
All right. There you go. And Michael, what about you?
Just follow my Instagram, Michael Evans, LOL. I have a podcast. It's live on Facebook every Wednesday at 1 p.m. called Lunch Money, where Mike Maslotti and I revisit elementary school test material to embarrass ourselves seeing what we haven't retained, which is most stuff. Tune in Wednesdays at 1.
Oh, awesome. And again, thank you, Mike, for joining us. Thank you, Jason Marino, Kia. Thank you, Jason C. Borland. You're awesome to play with. And that was the tell. You totally nailed that correctly. I've been Felicia Michaels. You can follow me across the board at Felicia Michaels. And Jessica?
I'm at Jess Wellington, too. Follow me. And you have been live.
I love everybody involved in this. This is awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
Man,
the
I love you.
Oh, babies are beautiful. Thank you,
Stephen.
Bye.
Bye.
You guys.
I'm not telling that
Disney
one.
Disney believe you. You're the real liar. Please stand up.
What? She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.